as Māori rather than relying on the government to for your rangatiratanga. You need to have a rangatiratanga mindset.
As a researcher, right, you think, man, this, we're lucky.
Oh, at the end of the 2 days, oh, it's actually whai mana, whai rawa, whai oranga, wina.
If that's not right, we're never going to be right.
All the diaries, all the accounts say our people dominated commercial fishing.
Steeped in your reel, steeped in your, you know, Māori culture, you can do anything in this world.
Kia ora kōrua. He rei ahau no te tai rāwhiti I tipu ahau oro tō o te whanā rā kairoa me te aitanga mate I tahi o ngā hapu o Ngāti Porou. I tēnei wā he kairangahau ahau mo te hapu o te aitanga mate me te whanā rā kairoa. E pāna ki o tātou Rohe Moana. I've got a background in environmental planning, but way and means for me to remain at home and like in Ruatoria and work in kaupapa that I felt a lot about, especially kaupapa taiao has been through research. And so I'm one of the researchers on the Huatokina project, which is part of the Tangaroa program in this last phase of the Sustainable Seas Challenge. And yeah, that project works with partners with two what we call kaitiaki trusts. And there's a whakapapa back to the Foreshore and Seabed. When the Foreshore and Seabed legislation came out in 2003, Ngāti Porou moved to negotiate their own arrangements, I suppose. And that was ngā hapu o Ngāti Porou. So as hapu, as whānau and hapu, we've maintained our mahinga kai and kaitiaki practices with our moana versus the iwi doing that, and that's translated all the way through so that the rights and interests to govern and manage sit at our hapu level. So we the whole thing about it, but we've collectivised this hapu in relation to our coastlines, so you can think of them as takiwā, so the hapu within that takiwā, and your doorway to the sea. That's generally how we've not rearranged ourselves, just in more formal governance settings like treaty settlements and this act, which is now the Ngā Rohe Moana o Ngā Hapu o Ngāti Porou Act. So it's formalised legally through those hapu collectives.
Has that been a, you know, somewhat of a seamless transition? Has it?
Hell no. it has been really interesting because naturally, whakapapa wise, how we relate, you know, how you associate with your marae and how you go to the beach, get your kai, that's all normal. No, that's how we do it. But as soon as this policy and legislation overlay sort of kicked in, we didn't agree with it, we fought against it, we didn't want to sign it. We've been through that. And some of our whānau and hapu still have chosen not to be a part of Ngā Hapu, Ngāti Porou, in terms of the Rohe Moana. But you actually need your own little manual to translate what is written in terms of the act and the deed of agreement. So I've actually been trying to get Auntie Agnes to come and do a podcast because she knows all this stuff off the back of her eyelids, and she'll have a way better way of articulating it because there's quite a lot of steps. But essentially, in from what I reckon, is our response to the Foreshore and Seabed Act was to negotiate this this arrangement. So we would have started in 2004. A deed of agreement was signed in 2008. The basis of that deed of agreement is what we refer to as the Toitū principles: Toitū te mana tua, Toitū te mana whenua me te mana moana, Toitū te mana tangata, Toitū te tiriti. And in that deed, in fact, the deed is much easier to read than the act. In that deed, there's also a range of what we call mechanisms or instruments, which have gone on to become legal mechanisms, which add to our sense of mana in relation to our rohe moana or moana or tahuna, tātahi, however you refer to your beach or to your sea. So that was 2008, the deed was signed. Somewhere in there, the Foreshore and Seabed Act got dropped. A new one come in, marine and coastal areas. And so our negotiations were held up with the other things government were doing, and particularly in that space. And then finally, our act was ratified in 2019. It's pretty much when it came in, soon after COVID hit. So we lost a lot of momentum between the signing of the deed when everything was really humming, and that's like 11 years later, the act is ratified. So, losing momentum and all of that, has cost a lot in terms of regenerating in our whānau and hapū and marae the slightly different roles and responsibilities we now have that have added legal powers and strength. It strengthens. It's not... definitely not saying we only have these because of that act. That act enables what we sought to negotiate for as a way of protecting our mana moana, basically. So, it's better when you see it in pictures.
I hear a lot of kōrero going around about in legislation and policy about, enacting and really embodying rangatiratanga and mana motuhake. I'd assume that a lot of this research and what is underpinned by those treaty principles and, tikanga and...
Actually, we weren't that great, particularly probably my generation down. We're not that great. It doesn't come as natural to us in terms of treaty principles. And that's not to whakaitsi them, but... and I don't know, it might be a ahika thing, but we actually, all the other, the Toitū te mana atua all the way through to mana tangata, those things we have more of a natural response to in terms of we have an understanding of them, we have a practice of them. Toitū te tiriti, only certain ones, have that constant interface with the Crown, with government. They're not usually our home-based ones.
Interesting.
Who prefer to be home bods, So the link with the research was, I think, about the time this last phase of the challenge was seeking new proposals or, renewing bids. We decided, a few of us from home collectivised to do a bid, and we felt if the challenge agreed to our whakaaro, which was to how are we going to effectively implement the act as hapu collectives. And then alongside that, we wanted to also be in the sea. So we wanted to be doing either a monitoring something or a restoration initiative that kept us in the moana, like as part of the formal research. So yeah, we were fortunate in being accepted as one of the Tangaroa projects in the Tangaroa program. And as research, well, not just as research activities, but also as kaupapa, the chalk and cheese, you know. And what was awesome was everyone wanted to be part of the, what was essentially a dive program, monitoring, you know, upskilling through free diving, and trying to match or incorporate kōrero tuku iho with restoration approaches and monitoring to work out the state of the sea, of our moana. Even to articulate the state of our moana has been, you know, it's not straightforward. Unless you're a diver or a fisher and you're out there all the time. Yeah, so even just people articulating what they've observed is changing. And then me coming along with my research portai on and trying to capture that in their voice that makes it real and makes it, you know, encourages us as fun and hapu to do something about those things. So it might be, you know, well, it got us to a point of, can we describe these in terms of Māori statements? And so, you know, in Wānanga they'll go, you know, our sea is, you know, we haven't been able to offer a certain kai that we always used to get on our hākari tables for so many years, you know, and we'd freely talk about this in Wānanga. Okay, so if I made that a Māori statement in our customary fisheries plan, I would say we are in a state of Māori heke. Oh, no, you can't say that. You get what I mean?
Yeah.
We got to a place of being comfortable about talking about how unwell we all agreed our moana was, but to put it in black and white on paper and in our customary fisheries plan, that was probably the one major violent reaction we had in that process.
What do you think that is? Is that because that becomes like documented?
Yeah, I think it
becomes real.
Record and it's a record. Yeah, it's recorded. I don't know.
And do you think that it's because traditionally we didn't do those things, so it feels quite foreign to perhaps go, well, wānanga are about these things, but when you start to, you know, write or video, that's when there's sort of like this connection between maybe tūturu or...
Elements of all of that. Certainly the publishing aspect of it, not saying we were publishing it as an academic paper or anything like that. That was for customary fisheries plans, which our target audience, like, and our role is... hapu researchers helping our hapu collectives or supporting them to work through that planning process, those plans were for, you know, they were for the whānau and hapu. They were for Fisheries New Zealand later or after. But, you know, it's quite a hard case actually to think about. But, you know, and so that's okay. So we took it out. You guys aren't comfortable with that. And so how are we dealing with the state of our moana that we're not happy with? And, you know, our people are very passionate about the moana that we subsist. A lot of our whānau need, that's our supermarket. Pick and Save's about 130k south, you know. We have supermarkets, but you get what I mean? Like our supermarket is our ngahere, our whenua, and our sea, and our gardens. And yeah, so there's a lot of passionate contributions to the wānanga processes that we used. But also mixed views on what is actually effective.
Mm.
You know, so it's like, okay, we can say this, but in what is that going to keep commercial fishers out?
Yeah.
We have kinna barons because there's not enough the fish that eat the kinna. I think it's the snapper.
Mm.
You know, they're being commercially fished. So there's imbalance. So, you know, and so actually being collective, like having a whole suite of collective processes to work through challenges and potential solutions, and to, you know, the struggle was at, I think Uncle Graham Smith coined the phrase, multiple sites of resistance. So you got to have resistance with our mahinga kai people. You've got to have resistance with those who will go and represent us at local government, at central government. You know, these you got to have the ones who can kōrero on the marae, in the marae, in hui, in homes. It's a huge undertaking. So even just change, getting our people to understand our expectations, there's no silver bullet. So no one person can be all of that. But we need a way to hear each other and then agree what approach are we going to take, or what are the approaches we're going to take, and then divvy up the workload and say, right, you represent us there, and you are saying this and this, because this is what we've agreed are our positions. You do what you do, you feed the whānau, you feed the marae. While you're out there, can you look for this and that? Or, you know, Pia, you go and find opportunities to maybe secure other research that will progress other wawata that we have. So there's, that's sort of all the things we need to be doing. Trying to try and get the outcomes that we want.
I guess the part that comes to mind for me is, what were those outcomes that you were sort of looking for, you know, in terms of the research project, and in terms of huatokina, and, you know, what, you know, from the outset to wrapping up?
Yeah, so I had less to do with the dive work stream, but I suppose from there it was to try and profile the state of the mana of our respective areas. So one, the first Kaitiaki Trust is in Waipiro, so Ngā Hapua Waipiro. So that's one bay, and the bay right next door to the north is Whareponga. So we're working with two Kaitiaki Trusts. So the in mana work stream was around trying to profile the state of each rohe mōna, to grow capability and pathways to, you know, track those who are interested into marine biology, marine sciences, skipper tickets, diving tickets, because there's a huge interest in that, but we're not necessarily ticketed up. And then on the side that looked at the effective implementation of the Act by Hapu, it was, well, really, I think we thought we could achieve more than we did. But it actually was really difficult. So we had to think about, right, how do we prepare, say, visual resources? They ended up being visual, to break down the mechanisms of the Act to help with understanding, and like, how do we actually talk about it? Because, you know, here awa no, te reo o te pire, o te ture, to how we would usually, we went as au fait in talking about legislation, especially legislation that actually was based on our tikanga.
I guess in looking at, you know, the body of work that you have done so far, however, the fact that you might think that we thought we could have done more, I guess this is the foundations of, you know, doing more moving forward, or for others to take up some mahi and go, oh, these were the hardships. This was something that, you know, Pierre and the team and, you know, Huatokina found difficult, but there's at least documentation there. You know, there's places, there's systems at work that, okay, we can work from, maybe?
Yeah. I think an opportunity that we did get was to say, actually, the types of governance and experience of governance that we have doesn't fit. You know, if you've been in marae committees and trustees, if you've been a runanga trustee, if you've been a more modern, you know, post-settlement PSGE trustees, or even corporate governance, the skills and experiences you have there need to be adapted for hapu collective governance of a natural resource like the moana. You know, you don't have a fence. What I do here, or what we do in this bay, can affect the other bays, or what so and so is doing up on the Maunga comes down the river and out into the, you know. So it's it requires a rethink, and we have the tikanga to bridge all of that, but we can't assume that because we're experienced in governance on farm committees and corporations or you know, all these other entities that we have in Māoridom, that just like that, that we can cookie cut that into this kind of hapu governance. So there's a whole wānanga, you know, like think of doing a PhD every day to have the wherewithal of the full extent of mana that we can express or that can be strengthened in this process. That was probably a key, that was an early observation, let's put it that way, but trying to articulate that to the trustees of the day, it's very hard, and trying to articulate that to ones looking to come on. You know, you could assume, or that person's not putting in the time or not understanding things, or, but actually it is quite complex. And as I said, even having the language to articulate things, we have to develop that. Through our tikanga, we can leverage off that. It does take some compromise, I suppose, around how decisions were made, and you can honour that, but there might be a few extra steps because of the new responsibilities that we've signed up to. What were some other learnings we had on? So we got quite good at working through resources to wānanga or workshop, the instruments. So the instruments is like a fisheries mechanism, there's conservation protocols, there's an environmental covenant, which is like iwi or hapu management plans in a resource management sense. There's protection of wahi tapu. These are minerals instruments. So there's all these kinds of instruments that pretty much cover the bulk of activities that could happen in Yorohe Moana. And that we have certain roles and responsibilities. You know, we have ahika, mana moana roles, but we have, with the act, we also have these legal responsibilities to protect and facilitate and all of that kind of stuff. So it's full on.
Yeah, hard out. Was sort of the rohe and with the, you know, the ahika and you know, na uri or na tiporo and ngā hapu, were they happy? Were they on board? Were they wanting to be a part of, you know, this research and I guess upskilling and bringing mahi and, you know, capability into the iwi?
I suppose the way to answer that is not outwardly so, and that's not to say they were against it. I suppose we're just, it's hoha. You get him and Noah having to, you know, you just want to be, say, kaitiaki, but you got to go and put on a suit and go and be kaitiaki in places when really you could just go and get, you know, oh, the tide's right, we're going to go and get a kai. You know, there's that sense of kaitiaki tanga through the preservation of your practice, but this actually requires some of us now to be kaitiaki in all these other ways, whether it's, you know, talk to Fish and Z, talk about fisheries regulations, and the ones who will talk to them aren't necessarily our fisher people, you know, who wanted to speak. So it's, it was hoa that way. I think where the hapu and their kaitiaki trustees galvanised, is to say the others didn't. It is quite a complex and complicated thing, and it's actually you know, it's the expectations on both sides, especially from the home ones, that you're sorted when actually you're not, because you all need to be collective and on the same page, is quite, it's stressful. You know, it's taumaha, or he ahua taumaha. As well as agencies, you know, to actually do anything, they actually have to now contact us in our Kaitiaki trustee, is Kaitiaki Trust. And, you know, their agencies, they get resources, they get rates, and they just think you can ring someone up an actual day job.
Yeah.
It's not.
This is our life.
It's after you've done everything else. Oh, that's right, I've got to go and do that for the pile, for the hapu, or for whatever. So it's, as per, it's inequitable. There's a really strong need for clear, simple messaging of, you know, I can't think of an example right now, but to both our people in the agencies and developers and whoever we have to deal with, is actually, you know, first principles are, if you want to do anything in our place, you come and see us. If you've got a government contract, or, you know, if you've got a government grant to come and do, say, a research activity, or to take the whale bones that got buried last year, you come and see the Kaitiaki Trust of that place. And that's not to say you're not the hapu, because ideally the hapu have placed the trustees into the trust. So it's not to separate us, but it's like a formal post box, basically. Point of contact. And then, so the agencies are needing to get
on board
too.
And I guess in terms of, you know, the research project and just the rohe and, you know, everyone there, what are the whainga? What are the wawata? What are you hoping to achieve and, you know, have outcomes for, you know, towards the end, perhaps looking past the end of the project?
Yeah. So probably 2 to 3 main results or learnings and outputs me key in research land has been around hapu-led policy development and encouraging our people to rely on their own, well, te reo me ona tikanga, their own sense of understanding to guide set policy development. So, yeah, policy making is the most uncool thing to have to try, you know, pull a wānanga or a party on. But so in our research, we've used a framework that was actually developed back in 2012, which we call and was always referred to as Te Pā o Tangaroa. And we've used that to assist these two hapu collectives to develop their customary fisheries plan. So Fish NZ had provided a template of a customary fisheries plan, which was cool, and it was probably, I don't know, 5 pages or something. But when you actually read it, and if you imagine yourself journeying through it, it's not naturally how we think about our mana, and then it you sort of end up managing an asset, not allowing your relationship with your mana to define what should be done and how you should go about it. So it's you're looking at fill this in, tick the boxes, manage for compliance, as opposed to what does our relationship with our mana tell us that we should be putting in a, you know, how would we define what should be in a customary fisheries plan? Mm. Do we want our maramataka in there? Do we want our tikanga at the beach in there? You know, that's not in the template.
Yeah.
Do we want to, I think both wanted to identify their species, you know, and the taonga species or whakapapa species. But we would do it in the whakapapa sense on our way of doing it. And in this one, it might be, you know, it might be a list with the scientific name and the, yeah, so.
Different
friends. Yeah, just different
whakaaro.
Yeah. Mm. What would be the other main difference we saw, well, I saw is the agency template quickly got you to look at fisheries management objectives. Whereas our one, you know, you've got to hit oh and no. Mm. You want to talk about te Māori o te moana, and then sustainability, and then fisheries management is actually a subset of that.
Mm-hmm.
And you recognise recreational interests and commercial interests as well. Or what are the hapu positions or connections to recreational fishing, and what are our interests are now, what for us would be Ngāti Porou Seafoods in terms of our commercial interests. So yeah, so different ways of doing it. One could be partly a desktop analysis of fishing as one knows it, and the other, or we use our wānanga to in partnership with the hapu and marae of those areas to progress the draft.
Well, and is this all under the first output of policy? Is that,
well, we because, you know, because you can't get hapu whānau to turn up to talk about policy.
Yeah.
But they were slightly motivated to come and talk about customary fisheries planning, so we used that as the, we looked at that as the policy exercise, helped them to produce a plan that they were looking to do anyway. And we've just, in terms of the research part, we've just looked at learnings in terms of the approaches, what were the challenges, yeah, what were some tools that helped. Yeah, that was the research part of it, and the rest was the hapu in it, you know. So in terms of research results, we're not what we've been allowed to share of the customary fisheries plans, we've incorporated that, but otherwise the output isn't the customary fisheries plan. It's how did this framework of Te Pā o Tangaroa facilitate and assist our hapu to, in this case, develop customary fisheries plans. That's as the policy. The other main result was we were wanting to look at a decision-making tool. So we've got a sort of an infographic there based on the Toitū principles. So it would be the Toitū principles are central to everything. I'll step back. The act and the deed have a definition of each principle. But if you were to read, when I read it, I was like, oh, no, that's not what I think. Particularly Toitū te mana whenua me te mana mōna meant, in terms of what I know about it. It's like, oh, yeah, that I'd need to break that down further or rewrite it, basically. So we actually did wānanga with each hapu collective to get their whakaaro about what do those mean to you. Don't look at the legislation's definition. And then we said, okay, so they sort of gave us that kōrero. And then we said, okay, what are some practices you associate with what you've described for mana atua or mana whenua, mana mōna? And, there were things like karakia and ceremony, our right to be the ahika that we are, he taonga tukuiho, nunga atua, mana whenua, mana mōna is ahika, manaaki, kaitiaki. You can go through and then you can either tease it out or they'll say, oh, that's this practice, or when we do this, that relates to that. Same thing, mana tangata. And then, so from that, we've had to have a few goes at it because it's a policy piece, development piece, but the research team have looked at other iwi and hapu and how they've gone about their cultural values informing their policy and implementation. So, yeah. If I can coin it in Nikki Douglas's way of talking about policy development, if you know your principles or values and you can identify and talk about your practice that relates to those values, then the part in the middle is your policy. So usually we have to go principles, practice, and then, fine-tune what policies are. And so, effectively that's what we didn't know that when we did the wānanga. Found out later about PPP, she calls it. But, effectively that's the best and simplest way to talk to your uncles and sons and cousins about policy development from a cultural values framework. Those are the main two. And then that Te Pao Tangaroa framework, which is really looking at the structure of a pā and whare. And I suppose if you think about the pōhiri process, you're called on, you respond, on the marae atia, there's that chance to whakawhiti kōrero or tautohetohe. There's where you're placed on the paipai or on the maho, you have a role, you're protecting certain things. And we've just taken a bit of creative license around the front of the meeting house. So I think the maihi and the amo, the maihi for us were the customary fishing considerations, and the amo were, say, recreational fishing interests and commercial interests. So, but I create a license there. Then you go into the whare. The tāhuhu is we've got the Māori, and then the heke are our taonga, all the different kai, seaweed, everything. Te tini o Tangaroa. The pautoko manawa, I think we've got them as management objectives. So, we've sought to use the components of the whare to try and reflect things we might think about anyway, and then apply it to fisheries planning. That's our last bit we're working on now, is graphically representing that. Hopefully in a 3D way, but we'll see. Even a
virtual reality.
Well, even the goggles on. A stick figure would do too.
I think you have grand ideas, and then you're like, okay, why? Okay, A4 paper.
We've got Desna's helping us out with that.
It sounds like a as you said, a complex body of work, you know, and there's a lot of different elements that go into, you know, one body of research, but it sounds like you'd put in a lot of hard work and effort. So, you know, acknowledgements to you and the team for, you know, sticking at it and getting to the end, I guess.
And that's probably one of the things about being a researcher in your home and home community and hapu and whānau, that's soon straighten you out. There's sort of, you know, you're accountable till you die, basically. So if, like for me as a researcher, I don't like things going out if I don't feel I can defend it. And I hate public things anyway. So for something you've written, which is going to stay in Word a long, long time, I have to feel that I'm happy. Okay, you know, that can go out like that. People have their perspectives when they read it or whatever. Let's have a kōrero and get to understand the foundations and assumptions we've used to message the things that we will end up putting into written reports or written outputs for the challenge.
Yeah, not an easy job, and especially when you're working with whānau, uncles, aunties, and, you know, everyone's got their own experience of, you know, what they think is correct or right or wrong, you know, it's not an easy job. So, you know, just kare wa te pōtai ki a koe, you know, mihi ana, and to the team. But yeah, I think ko nawhetera, but, you know, if there's any other kōrero that you think, you know, you might want to add to that, ka pai?
It's really just being able to get together, because there's a challenge and there's a collective of kaupapa Māori rangahau. It's been challenging to come together. So it is always good to meet, and we're just having a crack up with one of the other project teams and just all of our little picky menga heke. It's good to laugh too. But you know, in private sort of. And just to find a balance again about, okay, how can we do that? How can we resolve that and get on with it? Ko te tiki painga whainga katoa. Because my other thing is, you know, research isn't hard, but the funding comes from the system. So, and they're always assuming that we can't research, or that we're not of this or not of that, or we can't, we don't write it how they want to read. I'm talking about the system reading it. When we know our first audience is our people. But so for me, there's multiple, but certainly dual standards we have to uphold to as researchers. You know, if we say a research is getting done, or hapu research is getting done, and these hapu names, then we're going to get it done. Aha ko ngā piki me ngā heke, because it's not me as the researcher, it's the research in that hapu's name. And I would be probably more over the top if I was working with another hapu or iwi that I didn't whakapapa to. You know, you have to meet those standards as well as our people's. Our people's ones are higher, but you got to cover both. That's, I think, for Māori researchers, we have to do that to make the way easier for the ones who are going to carry on. Yeah, because when you come behind a researcher that hasn't done a good job, you have a lot to clean up before you can actually get on with the mahi. So, yeah, that's probably my last plug.
I mean, and I just want to touch on that as well as, you know, I've heard from a lot of the researchers that we've spoken to this week is that it's awesome to be around other kairangaho Māori because you go through the same struggles. You know, you might find commonality between research projects and they might be up north and you might be, you know, down here everywhere, but it's like we're all working towards one sort of common goal, and that's the restoration of the moana and, you know, it becoming alive and well and sort of protecting that mana and its Māori. So,
yeah,
it's awesome.
And our mana and Māori.
Mm.
Intrinsically linked with our taiao, with our moana. So if that's not right, we're never going to be right. All of those things.
Yeah. Nah, I mean, mihi ana ki a koe pia. Tēnā koe nei kōrero i tō tōtoa i o mātauranga, kua rangahaua. It was amazing to hear, and all the best to the latter end of the project, and hopefully it all, you know, all the dreams and aspirations come to fruition.
Ka pai. Thank you.
Tēnā koe.